So just be prepared. It's a bit more interactive than usual, quite a bit more interactive actually, but we'll get to that. So as a church, we're on a bit of a journey. We're looking at worship. Do you remember this one? It was David and Michal. David bringing in the ark that had been outside. It had actually been sent to the Philistines, and then they got it back, and then it had to wait somewhere for a little while. Finally, it was in Jerusalem. He was so ecstatic, so excited, he stripped down to just a little bit of linen and started just praising God and dancing before God. He didn't care what anyone else thought. But his wife didn't like that, Michal. So the message we got from Dorothy that day was Michal, his wife, couldn't understand why David was just before God. Now, we're not going to go as far as this morning, you'll be pleased to know. But there's something about the Michals in our life, whether that's someone on the other side of the church, the person sitting next to us, whether that's just our perception of what someone else is thinking of us in worship. Forget Michal, come before God. This morning we're just going to do a few things. Some things will be a little uncomfortable. Bear with it. Try things out. I just encourage you. Be open and honest. We're going to have a little bit of chatting with the person next to you as we go through. And the next one was the power and presence, which Andrew brought to you last week, where God appeared to Moses in a cloud at the tent of meeting. This is the creator of the universe, the almighty God, and yet he wants to meet with us intimately. We jumped from this into our Corinthians passage last week, looking at how God takes away those things that get in between us. Here, he had to appear in a cloud because his presence was too much. We know in Jesus, he actually appeared to us. So forget Michal, forget the person sitting next to you or your perception of what someone thinks of you in worship. Remember who God is. And then today, we're looking at mind, body and spirit, our whole selves in worship to God, our whole selves and our whole being. I'll just run you through where we're going. Next week, we'll be looking at worship using our whole lives. Worship isn't just about our singing, it's about our whole lives, everything that we're doing. And then we'll spend those 3 weeks after that just looking at some of the spiritual gifts. What does the Bible say that God wants to shower over us that he's already doing in our lives that we can have more of? Or maybe there's some more stuff he's got for us that's quite exciting. So that's where we're heading over the next few weeks. So I thought, because this is slightly more interactive this morning, that we'd do the reading together. So let's say together, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord your God with..." Sorry. Should we do that one again? "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Trust me to fluff the very centre of what we're doing today. So, let's have a look. Body. How do we use our body? Now, body wasn't actually in that passage. But in our passage, we're called to worship using our whole heart. Everything we do in worship comes from our whole heart. That's what the David passage was all about. It's his whole heart attitude to worship. And from that, we have our strength, which I would see as our body. It's sort of, we're very embodied people. We're not just floating spirits tethered to a mortal flesh. God made us in bodies and said, "You are good." So we are embodied people. He wants us to use our bodies as well as just our minds and our spirits, which are the other things. So it's using all of them. One of the reasons we use music in worship is because it brings the three together. So you've got the rhythm, whether you've got John on the bongos or the drums, or you've got the rhythms that Andrew's playing on the keyboard. You've got rhythm. It's something to move to. It's something that gets us going. Sometimes we'll be sat there, I don't know if you're like me, I'm a bit of a muso, but I'm sitting in a cafe, hear something on the radio, and my foot's tapping without me realising. There's sort of a body response to what we're doing. Then you've got the melody, you've got the lyrics, and you've got that melody. You've got those two things that actually engage our minds, our analytical processes, our cognitive abilities. We start to process, oh wow, wasn't that a beautiful melody? What wonderful lyrics. And then you get the harmonies, whether you're experiencing them, just listening to them, or you're singing them. I don't know if you've ever been sat there listening to an orchestra or a Glossop old band, I think I got it right then, and you just hear just a wonderful blend of notes that are just notes, but there's something about it that just moves the soul, moves the spirit, and you just think, wow, that's incredible. So we've got rhythm engaging our bodies, we've got melody and lyrics engaging our minds, and we've got harmony engaging our spirits. To get us thinking about this, Andrew and I both were at a seminar in New Wine, and we wanted to share with you and St. James, so he'll be over there doing this in sort of 20 minutes or so with them. We wanted to share with you a few things that we just thought, wow, this is great. This is really getting us into worship, taking us to another level in our personal worship. So we wanted to share it with you this morning. And so we will actually hear a little bit from John Soper, so it's not just my voice doing the talking. So we're physical people. We're embodied people. The majority of things that we do in our lives use our bodies. If you're a sporting fan, and you're at the cricket, or you're at the football, or you're at the tennis, and your team or your player scores or gets whatever points it is, there's that jubilation inside, isn't there? And sometimes you just can't help but roar with, wow, that's great, or a fist pump, or there's some sort of natural thing. I get it when I'm playing computer games. Oh, yes, I got there. and then sometimes, what if things go wrong? And your team loses, for me in my computer games, I might die, or something like, oh no! You know, head in your hands moment. We react to things that are going on inside us with our bodies. And it's also the other way around, and that's how I want us to think about it today. Because what we do with our bodies can also help us inside. It's one of the reasons we do baptism and communion. There are signs, there are things that we're interacting with our bodies, that help us discover something going on within us, or create, as far as when I'm putting my hands in worship, I'm saying to God, I want to be closer to you. Or if I'm kneeling down, I'm saying to God, you are much bigger than me, you are greater than me, and I come to you in submission, because everything about the body movement is getting me into that place of being ready to meet with God in that moment. So sometimes it's about choosing the posture that we're going to use. Now, this is where the interaction comes in. I'd like you to say hello to the person next to you, because you're going to be chatting a little bit today. So go and say hello. Brilliant. That's enough friendliness. So something we see, and I've already mentioned it, in the Bible, as people getting ready to worship, or even they're in the middle of praise, is raising their hands. Now, some of these exercises today, and there's only three that are particular, I suppose there's four that are a little bit body movement. Band, would you like to come up? That would be brilliant, thank you. Or ladies and Andrew. What we're going to do is we're going to sing a chorus, and we're going to just sing it. We're not going to raise our hands or do anything. We're just going to sing it through. And then I will tell you what comes next. So, brilliant. Over to you.
Oh, Majesty, I come above. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes, I don't deserve. I live serve your majesty.
Brilliant. Would you all stand? And I know this is uncomfortable for some, and so it's not everyone's cup of tea, but can I invite you to raise your hands? while we sing this, we're just going to see what it feels like. It's all about what does this feel like. We'll go for that again.
Your Majesty, I can bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes, I don't deserve. I live to serve your Majesty.
Thank you all. Hands down. Now turn to the person next to you. How did that feel? You've got 30 seconds. Good, bad. How did it help you engage with God? Or not? Brilliant. Excellent. If I can call you all back. So, another biblical one is there is clapping. And there's something about celebration. Every week, every Sunday that we come here, do you know that they moved the Sabbath from the Saturday to the Sunday so that we can celebrate the resurrection of our Lord every week? That's what we do when we gather here together. We come before God and we celebrate that he's not just died. He died, and that's so incredible and so important, but he rose again. So we celebrate. And one of the things that they do, and we do at sporting events or wherever we are, when we see something, we're all together, we see something absolutely amazing, we clap, don't we? And so what we're going to do is we're going to do a different chorus this time. We're going to do it without any clapping. We're going to, if you'd like to stand if you're not, or if you're able. We're going to sing without any movement, and then I'll tell you what comes next. Try it with a clap. So just clap along with me. Again, I say it's uncomfortable for some, just give it a go, just for now. Bear with me.
Mighty Savior, lift it high, King forever, Jesus Christ, crowning glory, raised to
seconds. Person next to you, how did that feel in your approach to God? Okay, brilliant. Do feel free to take a seat, those of you and anyone else. There is another action that's very biblical, and that we sometimes say when we come to our confession, if you'd like to sit or kneel. Kneeling's a very biblical action to do, and to kneel before God. So we're going to try it, and we're going to just do this in silence. I invite you, look for your hassocks, I think that's what they're called, those little cushions, or kneelers, if you want them. I think there's loads at the back, but otherwise, cold hard floor, I'm afraid, but but let's give it a go. Let's kneel. Let's do this in silence so that we kneel before God. Okay, so just thinking about who God is, we're on our knees. Let's just hold it there just for a moment. Okay, and then up again. 30 seconds with the person next to you. How did that feel? What was it doing? How did you engage with God? Okay. Now, this is the risky bit for me. I'd love a little indication of just, it takes a little bit of boldness, but if you felt in any way that using your body helped you engage with God in a slightly different way, would you raise your hand? Thank you. That's really helpful. So it just shows us that our bodies can be an ally in our worship, in what we're doing. Yeah. I've found over the years, I was really reluctant at first, went to New Wine, and they said, put your hands in the air, see how it goes, and I thought, oh no, that's not for me. Actually, I found my personal worship has been, and just time with God, I've just found I'm more open, because I'm a very active physical person. I like to do things. I'm a doer rather than a thinker, I suppose. I do think, but for me, it's my body that I use more, and I find dancing in the aisles, which I'll invite. We're not going to do that, but you're invited to do it later. But we're not going to practice that in these exercises. But that for me is the next thing. If there was something that for me is just terrifying. But putting my hands in the air and just moving around has become, as I've practiced this, as I've done more, as I've sort of stepped out into that, something really helpful for me in my personal worship. I just find it helps awaken my soul to God. Sometimes I get here on a Sunday morning, even if I'm getting ready for the preach or whatever. There's been things that have gone on at home, or other things that are ticking around my head. Sometimes it's those first two songs that just, oh right, yeah, I'm here to worship God. It just helps me get my brain in the right place if I'm doing something with my body. So the last thing I'd like us to do is to stand. And some of you are going to go, oh no, because we're going to sing a cappella, a kid's song. it's really easy. I haven't put the words up, so it's really easy to know. I'm actually going to stand up here so you can see the actions, okay? So I'll sing it through once with the actions, and then I'll invite you to join me, okay? So it's, Jesus, I love you deep down in my heart. Jesus, I love you deep down in my heart. I'm talking about deep, deep, down, down, deep down in my heart. I'm talking about deep, deep, down, down, deep down in my heart. Now, if you don't want to do the bending, that's fine. But, you know, join in with whatever, as much as you want. The second verse of Jesus, I praise you, but we'll do the first verse again. Okay, so, Jesus, I love you deep down in my heart. Jesus, I love you deep down in my heart. I'm talking about deep, deep, down, down, deep down in my heart. I'm talking about deep, deep, down, down, deep down in my heart. Jesus, I praise you deep down in my heart. Jesus, I praise you deep down in my heart. I'm talking about deep, deep, down, down, deep down in my heart. I'm talking about deep, deep, deep down in my heart. Well done. Thank you. Okay, so 30 seconds with the person next to you. How did you find that? Good and bad. Brilliant. I hope that's been helpful in some way. So let's move on to the mind. How do we engage our minds in worship? And there's a number of different ways. Firstly, good words and good theology feed our understanding of who God is. So the songs that we sing here are carefully read through and understood before they're used, because it's really important that as we're singing good songs and good theology, and some of those wonderful old hymns that just have such good theology in them, they just really feed our souls. And that's why I was really grateful that Pat, you used a number of hymns in your prayers, because it's our songs often more than a talk, and sometimes more than sometimes it does inform a bit more, because we repeat them over and over, than other forms of learning, I suppose. Remember that Paul's call to the renewal of the renewal and transformation of our minds, Paul calls for. And so when we hear scripture read from the front, that's part of feeding our minds. When we hear someone come and give a story of their faith and their faith journey, it's an encouragement. It helps us engage with and think about, oh, what about our own life? And it's an encouragement. It moves us on. It brings us on. Thinking about how we address God, the Lord, or Abba, Father, which means Papa, Father, Daddy, Father, both that intimacy of a little child to their dad, but also that respect of his position as father, that reverence. So we're going to listen to a track from John Soper. He's going to take us through a little exercise that just helps us get into scripture in a different way. So, Tom, can we cue the track?
Assume a position that's alert and relaxed. And what I'd love you to do is just to think on this phrase as I say it a few times, and I'll leave a little gap in between each one. And let your mind feed on the truth. So, some people say when you do this, it's like sucking a boiled sweet. You just let it go round and round in your mouth. You let it go round and round your mind, and let it feed your mind as you think on it. So here it is. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Last time. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Okay.
So turn to the person next to you and say and ask, how did that, or tell them, how that helped you in your approach towards God, or it didn't. 30 seconds with the person next to you. Right. I let you have a bit longer. You all look like you're in deep conversation, which is brilliant. It's a form of meditation. It's called Lectio Divina. And the idea is you're allowing the Holy Spirit to work through text. One of the ways I used this at college particularly, and I use it from time to time now, is when I'm struggling to pray, or there's points where I just want God to speak into something, I will pick up a passage, either one that I know well or something that I've been reading that day, and I'll just read through the whole passage a few times until sort of I'll read it three times, and I'll ask God to reveal a particular passage to me, and then I'll read that verse or that short passage just over and over in that sort of way until it's moving, because it's moving around the cognitive processes. It's letting the Holy Spirit in to the mind. And we're going to do something very similarly, but with the Spirit in this next bit. But it's all about being open to the Holy Spirit and to allowing Him to reveal things to us from His Holy Word. So Spirit. Paul writes in Romans 8:16. I don't know if I've written that one up. Yep, excellent. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So we know that God is spirit, so it's important that when we worship, we worship from our spirit that He's given us to His spirit, to who He is. And our spirit is that deepest thing within us, where we feel the emotions. It's something we can't really describe. It's to do with the whole of who we are, but there's something distinct, and sometimes we have traditionally put that in our heart, sort of the feelings, which is why I point to the heart when I think about the spirit. But it's whatever it is that we can't really describe that is who I am deep down, relating to God, not just in our heads, but it's sort of, we might use the word heart knowledge. It's when it's gone deeper. So there are a number of ways that we can do this, and one of them is through harmonies. When we're singing together, when we're listening to wonderful harmonies and we hear that wow factor, or we feel that wow factor inside. Wow, God, you're doing something in me. You're moving. What is that? And then that's when we start pressing into His Spirit and allowing Him to speak to us in new ways. I find singing in harmony, for me, is just about being freed from the melody. It's about just going for it. So sometimes you get scripted harmonies, and there's amazing times when you hear a lovely band, or you hear that piano, or whatever it is, just singing in harmony, where the Spirit meets us in a special way. And there are other points. For me, I find I speak to God, Spirit to Spirit, when I sort of deviate from the melody and just start going off. Where are you leading me in these harmonies, Lord? I don't know if anyone here speaks in tongues. For me, it's a little bit like being freed from the words by being released into the gift of tongues, where you start with a little few words from me, or sort of murmurs of something that I don't really understand, and then I let the Spirit just take over, and it's this heavenly language just happens. It's being freed from some constraints, I suppose, from the cognitive constraints, to just allow ourselves to be free before God, before who he is. So, I think I've put it badly, actually. I've put it down on my notes as sort of putting a pause on the cognitive process. Actually, we're using our whole bodies in worship, so our cognitive processes are working, but it's taking those and the head knowledge becoming heart knowledge. For me, I discovered this when I was in Teze. It's a wonderful community in France of about 50 monks. They invite loads of thousands of young people to come and join them every year. And we just sang the same phrase over and over. It was a phrase from Scripture or a truth of God that we would just sing over and over and over and over. And at the beginning of the week, I was thinking, oh, come on, this is ridiculous. Move on to the next one. By the end of the week, it was just, wow, these are just in me now. They're not something I know. They're something I experience. They're something I live. So I'm going to offer you this, because John Soper did a very similar thing. It was very like a Teze singing through. There will be song. I invite you to join in if you'd like to. If you don't and you just want to listen, that's fine. But I'll be singing, so join me if you like. But I'll take it back a slide, Tom, so you can play that one. So this is John Soper.
We did lots of singing in tongues this morning, but maybe now if we do a little bit of repetitive singing, and it may give you an experience of just letting your spirit take hold of something that you don't have to think about very much. You don't have to look at words on a screen or in a hymn book or anything like that. You just take hold of a little phrase and repeat it again and again. Allow that to let your spirit engage with God's spirit. So should we try that now? Okay, still active? All right, should we stand? Well, it's good to stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. So why don't we sing this phrase? The first half of it is just a hum, so it's there's no words at all, obviously. And then the other words after that are, I love you, Jesus, my Lord. So it goes like this. I love you, Jesus, my Lord. I love you, Jesus, my Lord. So first time around it goes up, second time it goes down. And again. I love you, Jesus, my Lord. I love you, Jesus, my Lord. So we'll just do that for a while, and what would be useful to do is, if you know how to harmonize, or you think you know how to harmonize, then just harmonize. Have fun, okay? I'll just try and keep a little bit of time to it as well. Here we go. I love you, Jesus, my Lord. I love you, Jesus, my Lord. I love you, Jesus, my Lord. Yeah. I love you, Jesus, my Lord. Just try it a little louder. I love you, Jesus, my Lord. And again. I love you, Jesus, my Lord. Yeah. Ooh. I love you, Jesus, my Lord. Let's just sing in tongues around that.
Just stand in that place for a moment. That place before God. Amen. Now, if you would like to, turn to the person next to you and spend 30 seconds to a minute just saying how that felt. Great. Well, hopefully these conversations can continue afterwards. For me, that one, I was just feeling the sense of God's presence, and just remembering this is the same God who appeared in that cloud, that pillar of cloud to Moses, who meets to us in all sorts of different ways when we engage the different parts of our body, our mind and our spirit. And some of us are more gifted, or feel more gifted, maybe is a better way of putting it, in one or the other. As I say, for me, it's the body, and it's the singing harmonies. The cognitive stuff isn't the one I engage with the most, but it's one I try to engage with. And maybe for you, it's a different set of things. We're all gifted with different things, which is brilliant, and that's what makes us so diverse in the body of Christ. I thought what would be good is if Andrew could start playing instrumentally. I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to sing a couple of songs. Let's put some of this into action. This is a safe space. This is an experimental place. If you want to try out any of these, or I'm actually tempted to go to the back and do a bit of dancing. so I'm going to just go to the back and I'll see what happens. I won't be watching. I'm not watching. I'll be at the back, but I'll make sure I'm sort of looking at the screen. I don't want anyone to feel watched in this. I just want you to feel you can be open before your God, your Maker, the one who loves you and has so much for you, to just explore and try something new. If you don't, that's fine. But I give you that opportunity and that invitation. I'll pray. And I'll start with some words from Paul that he says to the Ephesian church. He says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, with hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We know you've been here from the start. We know you were here before we even got here. But we welcome you again into our hearts. And we say thank you for making us whole-bodied people, embodied with mind, with spirit, with body. We just thank you for all your gifts. And we ask that you would help us to express something of our worship in the way that we always have done, in the way that we are starting to, and maybe, Lord, in new ways. we ask that you would meet with us in this time as we worship you, as you've met with us at every other time we've worshipped in our lives. We ask that you would meet with us today. And Lord, I pray for something special. I pray for your anointing in this place this morning, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.